welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile Podcast. This is a podcast where I take incredible people for a 1 mile walk and chat all things Monday motivation. And I want you to do the same. So grab those headphones and move with us. One of the great things about recording these is, first of all, we get to walk, and I get you and myself off the screen. Plus, I get to introduce you to highly driven people, and today's guest has inspired me. She's a 5-time world record holder.
Six!
A former freestyle world champion, a global ambassador for UEFA, and an entrepreneur. Liv Cook, are you ready to go for a stroll?
I am. I like this pace. You know, when you say like mile, Monday mile, I think, oh, we're running. But this is all right.
Yeah, this is cash.
I like it.
You know what I find with some of my guests, especially the athletes, they tend to power walk. And it's not about that. It's just like a slow, relaxing chat.
I'm a northern girl.
Yeah.
We don't walk as fast as Londoners.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Have you found that being down in London? I guess you're back and forward quite a bit. The pace is...
It's different. When I go on Google Maps in London and it says like, oh, the shop's around the corner, and it says like 5 minutes, I double it. I think it says 5 minutes on Google Maps, it's 10.
Is that if you're in a car or you're walking?
Walking.
Really?
Yeah, I double it.
No way. I love that. I've never heard a northerner say the walking time in London is double the pace.
No, like it's quicker, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because we're like, ooh.
Yeah, it's... Londoners, they don't muck about on the street, they're gone.
Yeah. I feel you. I feel like I'm going to adopt some northern vibes for this podcast.
We chill.
We're chilling.
We enjoy the stroll,
we're
the views.
We're chilling.
I mean, the view there is not great.
Next to a cemetery, not ideal. So we first met at Home Run Derby X, the MLB event, where I was on the stage about to bat, and I'm not going to lie, Liv, I was really nervous because the ball, for those that don't know, a baseball ball is pretty much a piece of concrete wrapped in leather. Yeah. And they played out your video before I went live. And I was like, wow, this girl is on it. And I literally internalized all of that spirit that I saw of you. And I was like, if she can do it, I can freaking do
it. Yeah, if the girl that kicks everything for a living can hit a baseball, yeah, anyone can.
Yeah, no, so that's how we met.
Yeah.
Bizarrely, and here we are, just a few weeks later, and you're in London because...
We're playing in the Comic Relief Celebrity Games. So I'm doing two sports. I'm doing the basketball and the table tennis. What are you doing?
I am doing the basketball. So you've just finished table tennis training.
Training pretty much all day. I am still sweating. It is tough. I went into table tennis thinking, yeah, light work. Like, you stand there and just swing a bat a bit. No. Delusional. What is with me and being delusional? Like, people keep challenging me to try new sports, and I'm like, yeah, it can't be that hard. Like, baseball, I thought it's a round ball, a bat, bam, easy.
No, I feel like table tennis, the way I look at it, it's such, like, fine movements. I'm imagining sort of Pilates, but with a bat at high speed, which just... scares me. So I'm glad I'm not doing the table tennis.
It's tough. Like, it's so technical and fast. Your reactions have got to be insane. I think it's harder than the basketball.
Do you reckon?
More addictive, though.
So let's talk basketball, because...
Yeah. We're against each other.
We are going head-to-head. How many people on the team? Because I've not yet done the training.
So it's 3v3, and you'll have a sub.
Nice.
But you'll need your sub, because you're running non-stop.
What's your
team? It's tough.
Give me the chat.
I've got Fern McCann.
Nice.
She's played netball.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. That's a strong skill
set
to adopt.
She is. I've nominated her as our best defender. Nice. She's got like these long arms. So like, she's like that.
Incredible. She can squash me, basically, like with the arms.
Literally. Who else have we got? We've got Sunny J and George Shelley.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
They're all right. They're good.
My team, I've not met them yet.
Yeah.
But I believe we've got an Olympic gold medalist. So I'm just going to say... let's hold all of our laurels on that and hope that his strength helps us prevail. And I'll let you into a little secret. I've not told anyone this.
What?
I used to play basketball.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Point guard.
You little cheat. No way, did you?
Yeah, actually.
Get out. That's not fair. Did the BBC know that?
I don't know.
No, you've not told them that. We're meant to be rookies.
They never asked.
I mean, you should have asked.
I didn't play at any sort of standard, though. It's like high school basketball. you know.
Don't matter, your son has play. But it was... I've got George Shelley that's throwing it like that, like a throw-in. Oh. I'm like, oh, George, come on.
This is going to get competitive.
It is.
So the Monday that this podcast drops is actually match day for us. So you see myself and Liv go head-to-head, and it plays out live on the 8th of August. Put your bets on now. Who do you think's going to win?
Even I'm going to bet for you now. I've played the bloody sport.
I reckon you'd win, though, at the table tennis. So we'll get
I'm winning both.
All right. I like it.
Don't doubt myself.
Fighting talk. Football. Freestyle footballer. That's an unusual career path.
Yes, it is.
Where did it start?
It all started with football. I grew up with two older brothers, so from the moment I could walk, there was a football at my feet. We'd be playing on the street, in the garden. Then when I was about 10, I joined a football team. Grassroots level, you know, became the best player in the team, won the golden boot, we won the treble, and I thought, right, I'm actually pretty good at this.
Yeah.
And like, I love it, I want to play football forever. So I moved on to an academy,
yeah,
where again I did pretty well. Just worked my way up in football, to be honest with you, to the point where I was playing at the top level with the girls we now see in the England squad. So Georgia Stanway, Kira Walsh, Ella Toon.
No way!
They're my teammates.
That's wild!
Yeah, we had fun, you know, travelling around, the away games were class, like, it was amazing. But I got a back injury and it was bad. Like, I was doing shuttle runs in training and I ran and I planted my foot to change direction.
No.
And this pain just went from like head to toe, like my back, just laid on the floor, just in agony. And that was the start of like a pretty bad time for me, because football's everything, like I said. I lived and breathed it. Like, I woke up looking forward to going to football. So when you can't do that or any physical activity for 7 months, it's a very hard time.
And how old were you when you got the back injury?
15.
Yeah, that is young, especially at the start of a professional career.
Yeah.
I can definitely relate to that, having snowboarded professionally.
It's horrible.
It always goes through your mind. You're like, whoa, should I try this trick or not? Because I want to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why the freestyle? Because to me, the technicality in freestyle just blows my mind.
Yeah.
How did you develop that skill set? Because it literally looks as if you're just walking down the street with the ball. It's unreal.
Well, that's the thing. So it was football for me. Like, I never even knew what freestyle was. I never wanted to be a freestyler. Yeah. So while I was out injured with this back injury, I couldn't bear the thought of not having football in my life. So I was in the garden thinking, right, what can I do with a ball that doesn't hurt my back? So I sat down trying to juggle the ball. So unknowingly, that was the start of like my freestyle
journey. Sat down juggling a ball, like your abs, your core.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it at first, but that was my way of still playing football.
Wow.
While I was injured. So anyway, obviously 7 months of doing that, I got better and better. I was on YouTube finding tutorials, like, what trick can I learn? Next trick and the next trick and the next trick. And then by the time that my back had recovered and I could go back to football, I'd fallen in love with freestyle. I'd found this new sport. I was following freestylers online. I was like, yeah, this is so good. And I was addicted. I've got a very obsessive personality, and my addiction just, I latched onto learning new tricks. It was like endless possibilities and I loved it.
That is freaking awesome. So how do you go from essentially doing football, sat on the floor in your living room with an injured back, to conquering the world of freestyle football? That's quite the transition.
Yeah, but I'm one of them. I've got an obsessive personality. So yeah, while I was injured, I couldn't play football, but I was learning trick after trick after trick, got obsessed with this new sport. And by the time I could go back to football, like, this was a new world that I was just in. And I tried to do both for a while, but it, for me, like, when I do a sport, it's not like, oh, I just want to play for fun, you know? Yeah. I want to be the best. Like, I was playing at the top level of football and I wanted to be the best freestyler in the world. And I loved these two things more than anything. They were my whole life. But I was picking up little injuries, not to do my back anymore. I was managing that pretty well, but just because I was overtraining, I was doing freestyle for 3 hours a day, training football, doing fitness, strength and conditioning. My body couldn't do both. You can't be world champion freestyler and Ballon d'Or winner in football.
Wow.
At 15, you know?
So what made you choose the freestyle, or was it the opportunity around it? Because the lifestyle you live now is incredible, the way that society's developed, that we can have a profession outside your traditional, is it fair to say?
No, yeah, you're spot on. But you've got to remember, when I was 15, freestyle wasn't a career. No one had made money from this, especially a girl. I think a couple of lads in the whole world had done it. A girl had never done it. So for me, it wasn't like I was 15 and or 16 by this point thinking, right, do I want to be a pro footballer or do I want to be a pro freestyler making videos on socials and all that? It wasn't a career choice. It was, okay, I love these two things. I want to be the best in the world at both of them, but I need to pick one. It wasn't which is going to make me more money, which is going to be a better career. It weren't that.
It was passion.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's one of the hardest things in life is finding your passion. So many people struggle. And I was very, very fortunate that I'd found two that I would die for.
That's nice.
I think that was the hardest decision to choose from them two things.
Yeah.
It was killing me. And like, I just, honestly, I thought about it so much and I couldn't decide. And I remember going around, I do what everyone does. You know, like when you can't decide something, you ask like
everyone.
Your best mate, your family, your friends. And everyone was saying football. Or like there was mixed answers, you know. Some people would say freestyle because it was cool. But most people would say football because they could see a career path. Yeah. It was there, it had been done before, and I was on track. But I just, even when people told me, like if I asked you now, mm-hmm. you probably would have said football back then.
Yeah.
But when you'd say football to me, it wasn't sitting right. But then if someone said freestyle, it wasn't sitting right. I couldn't make the decision. So you know what I said to myself? I said, right, if you had a day off tomorrow, a day off school, would you rather go play football for the day or go freestyle?
No
and it was
way.
Freestyle. So I was like, well, that's it. That's my decision.
Here we are.
And then fast forward however many years it's been, here we are. I've never looked back.
So what does a normal week look like for you? I can imagine it's quite hard to install a routine within your training and practice because you're here, there and everywhere, playing in huge stadiums, in front of brands. Does it really vary or have you got a structure within that?
Yeah, when I started like competing and stuff, like I don't compete anymore since I won the world champs. But when I was competing, I had to be like militant in structure. So it was wake up, train, do some like theory, watch like competitors' videos, eat right, stretch, go train again. And that was just my routine every day.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything else. I didn't think about anything else. I didn't go out with friends. I didn't do that. It was just that. And that's like the obsessiveness it takes to become the best in the world at what you do.
Yeah.
But after I won, that was the interesting thing, actually. And I'm sure you'll be able to relate a little bit. I think most athletes can. When I won, it was actually a horrible time. In my sport, there was no money for winning. There was no sponsors. It was, you win because you love it. And I remember after I won, it was probably a week later, I was crying in my car. And I remember thinking, yeah, I swear, I was crying. And I remember thinking, I wish I didn't win.
No.
Yeah, I wished I hadn't won the world championships and achieved my dream because since I won, I was just waking up with no purpose. I'd done it. My dream was always to go and win that world championships. I knew I was the best in the world. My dream was to prove that to the world.
And you did it.
And I did that.
At the first asking?
It was my third competition.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But the thing is as well, like, I'm obsessed with progression. So, you know, if I rank second, I want to come first. If I rank first, I want to do it perfectly. And it sounds weird, but the problem is I won perfectly. I was the youngest ever to win, and I didn't drop a single point in the competition. That's never been done before. And I don't think it ever will be done again. So there was no progress. Like, how can I top that? I couldn't.
So let me ask you then, flipping to where you're at now in your career, how do you find purpose and maintain that drive when the goalposts are very different?
Yeah, that took me a long time to work out. Honestly, after I won, like, best day of my life, went out celebrating, flew back home, celebrated with my family,
telling everyone. What the celebrations looked like?
It weren't that wild, you know. It was just, you know, some parties in Prague and then back to England, you know. I was still pretty young.
Nice.
But no, it was PG. It was a good time. But then when I got back to England and I woke up on the Monday morning and everyone had gone to work and it was a normal day, I just woke up like, what the hell do I do now? Like, I've done it. I achieved my dream. What? There was nothing to get me out of bed again because previously I'd jump out of bed like, right, training to do.
Yeah.
Got to beat my opponent. Got to land this new trick. Got to perfect this routine. And now after I won, it was like, all right, cool. We've done that. We don't actually need to train.
Yeah.
So for me, that was a really hard time. And I would say for a good year after winning, I was very lost and I couldn't find the next thing. And
how did you find it?
I don't know if I will ever find something like that again. That was unbelievable. Like, honestly, I would have died for that dream. And I think there's very few things in life that you can say that and mean it for.
Yeah.
But that's how much I wanted it. And that's why I became the best. But it was a really tough time. Like, some days I didn't want to get out of bed. But then I got this call from UEFA, and they were like, we want you to come on tour with us. We want to take you to the 7 best football pitches in Europe and make this video. I was like, sick, yeah, that'll be well good, like a trip. Show off my tricks on camera. So I went on that. I was buzzing. And it was nice for me because it was a bit of an escape. Because previously I'd been in this routine, like that militant routine I talked about of wake up, train, do this, do that. And I had this structure.
Yeah.
And the structure was there to help me chase my dream. When the dream was achieved, structure was gone. Went away with UEFA for quite a while. It was like 6 weeks, I think, or something.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I think it was split up in different trips, though.
Yeah.
But being away with them, I had a structure. The producer gave me a structure. It was right.
Nice.
We're meeting at 9. We're going to film till 1. Then we'll have lunch and then we'll do this. And it was so nice. It was like, I've got a purpose again. And my purpose isn't to train to be the best in the world. It's to make this cool content. It's to work
inspire,
with UEFA.
Right?
Yeah.
To inspire, that, create, and essentially put your own stamp on.
Slowly it came to that. I literally changed as a person in those 2 years. Since I started working with UEFA, I'll be honest, I was young. I wasn't bothered about inspiring.
Yeah.
I wasn't bothered about doing good to other people because I was quite selfish, which I think you have to be to become the best in the world. You have to just care about yourself and do everything for you. But then with UEFA and this new structure, I found myself like doing things for other people, and I started to get this weird feeling that I'd never had before. It was like, kind of like that. Like,
oh,
that
yes.
kid's like buzzing to meet me, and look how happy this trick makes her. And then like, over time I started to think, oh, like I can make people happy here.
That's
and, like,
special. That's really special.
And a lot of people say and see that, but until you're actually in that situation, like now, if like I send a signed football to a kid and I see that fit, like their face, I just want them to know now, like, yeah, I achieved my dream. And yeah, I make these tricks look easy. But I only did that because I went insane to it and put a lot of work in.
Yeah.
And if I can do it, you can do it, because I ain't special. And when I give that message to a kid now, that means more to me than winning that title. It's different.
It means so much more. But I suppose you have to go through those motions to understand, you know, what's rewarding and what gives you purpose. So how do you install a routine now within your semi-chaotic schedule? I mean, you've just had a phone call being invited to a football match tonight. That's in 5 hours' time. How do you find that balance and that calmness? Is it the northern attitude?
No, I get stressed. Like sometimes, like my manager will send me like travel plans at 8 p.m. at night for 8 a.m. in the morning. I say, I can't do that.
So,
like,
yeah.
I have to like have everything planned and then, you know, visualise my day.
I like that.
I can't be getting in at night. I'll panic. I don't want that. So I am still very structured. I like my structure, which
too.
Is very hard in this industry, isn't it?
It so is.
It is.
Do you want to do this tomorrow? Tonight? In 4 hours' time?
Gives me anxiety.
No, it does. So do you have a little regime to help you manage that, or is it just the way you plan your diary?
I think now I say no to a lot of things, and I have to, because I don't want to be doing everything all the time. I want to do things that are right and that align with what I want to do. So with my purpose again.
Yeah.
So when something comes in, my first question will be, right, does this align with what I want to stand for and what I want to do? If it's a yeah, can we make it work logistically? If not, then I stop thinking about
happening.
It. There's no point stressing. But if it doesn't align, like if it's a brand that I don't actually agree with, I don't care what money they're offering. Not putting energy into it because I don't care. So I think it's just having them boundaries around what you do, what you want to do, and time.
You're not just incredible at freestyle football.
I thought you were going to say incredible full stop there. I was like, oh, thanks. Yeah.
I mean, you are. I'm a fan. but you're also an entrepreneur. Tell us about Live Cook Properties.
Yeah, Live Cook Properties. I mean, what do you want to know? Like,
I mean, that must surprise people, though, because, again, there's these perceived perceptions and stereotypes. People will see you and go, oh, she's just a girl that's really good at football. But there's so much more depth to your personality and your skill set.
Yeah, right. I think, to be honest, for me, it goes back to when I was trying to become the best in the world at what I do. I became obsessed with success. Like, and it didn't matter to me what somebody was successful in. It was the mindset and the work ethic that made them successful. So whilst I was trying to be the best freestyler in the world, I was watching YouTube videos of Conor McGregor's mindset, Grant Cardone's work ethic, even Nicki Minaj, like just across so many different industries. And I took inspiration from that for different reasons. And Grant Cardone was one person that really stood out to me because he went from being like broke. His dad, I think his dad passed away or left or something. And it was just him and his mum, broke, no money. He was a drug addict till he was 21. Then he got clean and sober. And fast forward to now, he's a billionaire. So I was like, how does somebody do that? Because yeah, you could make six figures, maybe even seven figures, but to be a billionaire from nothing, from being a drug addict, that's ground up to like insane heights.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Exactly. So
I needed to know. To normal people.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to be extraordinary.
So I wanted to know what made him that. So I was watching all of his videos to figure out, okay, what's his mind like? What does he believe in? What made him successful? And I did that with so many people, but with Grant in particular, I was inadvertently, because he's a property guy, that's how he made his money. I was learning about property, but I weren't watching the videos to learn about property. I was watching to learn about him.
Yeah.
So whilst I was becoming world champion, I was watching all these real estate videos accidentally.
This was phenomenal.
Very natural. So I became quite knowledgeable without realizing, because I was accidentally learning. And then I just remember someone talking about property, and I thought, I was just like listening to the conversation on the train. And I remember thinking, I know the answer to that. I know why that deal's not worked, because I've watched these videos. I always had this interest in property. I didn't think I was going to do anything with it. That wasn't my goal. It wasn't my dream. But after I won, and then I started working with UEFA and other brands, and I was starting to get a bit of money, I thought, I want to be smart with this. I don't want to just waste it. I want to invest.
Love that.
I want to go into real estate. I was pretty young at the time, so it was kind of difficult to get taken seriously. But I started learning. I thought, right, before I dive in, if I want to be going into meetings with these developers that are like 60 years old, grey hair in a suit, I need to know my stuff. I can't be going in and asking questions. I need to go in and know, because they're not going to take me seriously. Like a 20-year-old girl walking in, you probably with a football in her hand. I need to know my stuff more than them to be taken seriously. So, yeah, it was actually in lockdown. I thought, right, let's learn as much as we can. And in 1 week, I must have read 10 property books.
No way.
Watched like thousands of hours of YouTube. Just my obsession again. Just went all in on property.
It's pure passion though. There's nothing else driving that other than your sole purpose to be the best at whatever you decide on.
It was. I just wanted to know everything. Like, I had so many questions. I'd learn one thing, one strategy, and I'd be like, right, cool. What if I did it this way? And I'd have so many like of these ideas. And I just wanted to know everything. I wanted to soak everything up. And do you know what? It sounds really weird, but I see property how I see freestyle. The combinations, the endless possibilities, you can never stop learning because somebody else will be learning more and the industry's always moving. So there's never an end.
You've got to move with it.
Exactly. And like when I'm doing deals now, property deals are for money because that's what the result is. Yeah. But the way I see the numbers in a property deal are the same way I see numbers in freestyle competitions. I want the best. And it's not because I want the money, because I'm just going to put that money back in. I'm never going to see that money. I love it.
How do you stay grounded? Because I can imagine if you, as a female, are to showcase your worth through objects, you like your cars, does that kind of grind to a halt? And do people say negative things about your success?
100%. I think in England in particular, there's this stigma around money. Like if you see somebody, not you in particular, but if an English person sees somebody drive past in a Lamborghini, they automatically think they're an arsehole.
Yeah.
And it's like, why is that a thing? Like, it is a thing, isn't it? It's weird. But you go to America, someone drives past in a Lamborghini.
They're like, yeah, bro, sick car.
Yeah, that's it. And they want to know what he does. It's such a different culture. And not everybody's like that. And I think England is catching up. But that's definitely a thing. And what makes it worse, from my experience, is being a young girl. Like, I've had deals or jobs where me and a guy might be in the same situation, have both got a bit of money. Mm. You know, if I turn up in the flashy car, it's like, whoa, who does she think she is? Like, we're paying her too much. The guy turns up in it, makes him cooler. And it's like, I'm not saying that's the general public, because I actually think it's the decision makers that have that issue, who are the older generation. In these corporate roles. My audience are the opposite.
So they love it?
Love it.
Tell us about your cars then.
Well, I just love cars. Like, to me, growing up, if you had a Lamborghini, you made it. So of course, when I started to get a bit of money, I thought, oh, I want a Lamborghini. Because like, when I get to the level where I'm allowing myself to have a Lamborghini,
You're good.
I made it.
We're good.
So that was always a goal.
That's incredible.
Do you know why I love the Lamborghini now? Because I'm used to it now. Like, I've had a few. Yeah. I've got a few cars now. Why I love it is because it emphasises my message to the kids more, that they can do anything. Like, I'm just a normal northern girl from a little town called Leyland. If I can become the best in the world at my sport, build a multi-million pound business and drive my dream car, why can't you? Because I am not special. Like, you can meet my family, they're normal. Probably a little too normal.
That is...
Probably won't go on TV.
That is so, so powerful, because I think you're right in that flashy cars, nice watches can be seen as materialistic, but if you flip the switch and you see it as a opportunity to seek inspiration, as an internal drive for yourself, that's how I would see it. Yeah. So I'm saying fair play to the Lambo. One day I'm going to get one.
Yeah. What colour? You've got to go a flashy colour, you.
Like, would yellow be too much?
Nah, never too much.
That's kind of my vibe, just drop in, you know?
Yeah, I like
it. Imagine if I could get a hot pink one, I really like
pink. Do it. I had a pink one.
Did you?
I had a pink Urus, yeah. Got a lot of hate on Twitter. No, but do you know what? I think the cars, why I love them so much now, is that if I just stood there telling a kid, you can achieve your dreams.
Yeah.
Everyone says that to them all the time. The teachers might even say that, and they might not even mean it. You know what I mean? But if you have done everything and you've achieved your dreams and you're driving this car that they think is out of the world, then you've got conviction behind your message. And they're like, well, she's driving my dream car. I've got to listen to her. That feeling when you put them in the car that they've only seen on TV, or, you know, they've seen on Instagram or something, and they start it up and you ask them what colour they're going to get when they're older, and like suddenly it becomes a bit possible. Because previously they thought, nah, I can't get that car. Like, it's insane. But now they're being asked what colour they're going to get. It changes something in the
mind.
It's
a different mindset, isn't it?
Yeah. And they just smile, and like, you can see it. You can see that idea that, okay, this is possible now, because here's the car and here's a girl that's done it. And I'm no different to her.
Yeah, it's mega.
That means a lot to me.
Seeing as you have achieved so much in your life across a multitude of fields, when it comes to your personal life, relationships, how does one add value to a lady who's kind of already got it all going on?
I think, you know what, it is hard. Like, when you've achieved success and you're on Instagram showing off like these materialistic things, you will attract people that are just there for that. They just want to be at these cool events, meeting these cool people like Amy, you know.
That's scary, though.
They might want to be next to you in the Rolls or the Lambo or on the jet or in first class or whatever.
Are you saying you've got a jet? You're going to take me for a little rip?
Oh, maybe damn. One day.
One day, that's the next. That's
maybe
the next
one day. But I think it's just important that you realise you've got to switch on pretty early who's coming for the right reasons and who's not. And I think as long as you've got your wits about you, you attract the right person. I think you attract who you deserve.
That's freaking ace. How do you seek inspiration from your partner? What inspires you?
She's just a boss. Like, when we met... We actually met online because she's from LA, and just like talking to her. Because obviously if you meet online, you have to get to know the personality.
Yeah.
So you're not there for the wrong reasons. Like, you're there because you like chatting to that person, and just hearing like everything that she's done, like her mindset, like how she goes about her day to day. Like, she's got multiple companies, private jet company. She's just incredible. And like her success in her companies, like, I'm not like attracted to her because she drives like the fancy cars, like the G-Wagons or whatever, or she's got these things, these designer brands and stuff. For me, it's like, okay, well, what did you do to get them? Because if, you know, daddy paid for them.
Not impressive.
Not really, no, but that's fair enough if that's how
you've totally
grown up.
Respect,
that's nothing
respect
against
that,
you.
Respect
but
that.
What are you doing? Like, I wanted to know the mindset, I wanted to know the work ethic that got her there. And the more I got to know her, the more I was just like, yeah, you're actually smart. Like, you're pretty cool. And yeah, she just inspires me every day. Like, she's, I don't know, even when I just overhear her meetings, I'm like, bloody hell, that's smart. Because she's a neuroscientist. She's developed tech products.
Just casually dropping that, she's a neuroscientist.
Yeah, she was published in it. And then she went on to tech, developed a few products there, and started a private jet company.
You speak a lot about creating the right environment to facilitate success.
Mm-hmm. It's a chapter in my book.
What does?
Which you've not read.
But I'm going to read.
Okay, cool.
Give a little name drop.
The Way to Win by Liv Cook.
Ace. I'm definitely going to read it.
I'll read yours as well, actually.
Nice. Fear less, live more. You heard it here. There's our plugs.
Title. Yeah, that's good, that. In fact, is it on your jacket?
It is.
I was reading it earlier. That's pretty cool. Did you get this made?
My best friend made it for me.
Wow, that's sick.
Sace, isn't it?
What a good best friend.
It means...
My best friends don't make me jackets.
It means so much more having something that's like handcrafted, so
cool.
Right?
Yeah, that's cool. That's class.
So what does that environment look like to you?
For me, it's first of all being grateful for where you live. You can't wake up and like, for example, if you're living with your parents and you don't get along with them, you're waking up in that negativity. And I know sometimes it can be scary or hard to change your physical environment.
Yeah.
But it's a must. It's a must. When I was pretty young, when I was like 16, when I decided I wanted to be the best freestyler in the world, I had to up and move from my parents in Lancashire down to London by myself. I didn't have to. But I knew I had to for my dream,
yeah.
Because the better freestylers were here and I needed to be surrounded by better in order to, you know, learn from them, soak it up like a sponge and, you know, go on to be world champion. So I think your physical,
yep.
If your actual environment can be changed and needs to be changed, change it.
Yep.
Take that step, take that risk. It's scary, but it's it works, you know. But then even if you don't want to change it like so drastically, there's little things you can do, like if you've got a dream, you could put a picture of that on the wall or something. So when you wake up, that's the first thing you see. When I wake up, first thing I see is excuses don't build empires. And it's like, how can you lie in bed when that's the first thing you're seeing, you know?
Excuses also do not build football pitches on your roof or roofs.
That is true. Yeah. Now, that was a dream I had for a while, you know. Like, football gave me so much. I wasn't a confident kid before football or freestyle. And I'm so grateful that the sport has given me everything that I've ever wanted. So I just think every child should have the chance to play. And the price to hire a pitch at the moment is ridiculous. It can be like £100 for an hour.
No
what
way.
Kid can afford that and afford football boots and balls and all this? So one of my dreams, once I started to do pretty well, was to build football pitches in my hometown for kids.
No way.
Going to be finished this month.
No way, what's that
called? 3G football pitches. It's in Bamber Bridge. Do you know what, when I put the tweet out, when I first got the idea, I was like, yeah, I'm going to build pitches because every kid should be able to play.
Yeah.
Tweeted it, started speaking to some builders, got a quote, £1 million for a pitch.
Oh, dear.
I thought,
that's not the one, is it?
I thought, I really want to.
Maybe let's scale that dream back a little bit.
But I stuck at it, you know. And then 3 years later, secured funding with the Football Foundation, South Ribble Council and the Premier League for a £2.6 million development.
Go on, Liv.
Finish this.
You are some sort of superwoman, you realise that?
Still pinching myself about that one.
And you're so young also. Born in 99.
Yeah, oh gosh, do you know what date?
I don't know the date, I'm not that much of a stalker.
I don't believe you.
I did my research, that's part of my job on this podcast.
20th of April, so you can send me a birthday card.
Okay, nice, I'll stick that in my moon pig order parcel now. I feel like you've got a third addition to facilitating success, the environment.
Oh yeah, it's your mental. You've got your physical, like where your location is.
Yep.
You've got a smaller version of that, it's like how you decorate it, the interior of it. Because you need to fill your walls with things that inspire you, motivate you, make you feel proud. Like, I have medals, I have trophies, I have things that I've not got yet that I want, like, you know, cars, whatever it is that makes you feel good and want to get up and work, put it on your walls. But then the most important about your environment, in my opinion, is the mental. So the accounts you follow on social media, the music you listen to, the podcasts you listen to. Like, for me, on my journey, one of the smallest but most important changes I made was the digital side of it. So when I was going to training, instead of listening to music, on the way there I did still listen to music to pump myself up, but on the way back I didn't need pumping up, I needed educating. So I swapped that music time for an educational podcast, whether it was motivational or educational, it didn't matter, something that would benefit me. I stopped watching most of the TV shows and put like documentaries on or something like that, or them YouTube videos I spoke about, and even the accounts I followed, anybody neggy or anybody just
boom cut, get rid,
don't need it,
don't need their bad energy in your
even
life.
They don't even have to be neggy, even if they're just online to show off how cool they are.
Yeah,
I'm not that interested. Like, yeah, you're cool, good for you, I don't need that,
but where's my inspiration?
Yeah,
it's
or
a
where's what you doing, what are you doing? Like, yeah, you've made it, but what are you doing?
Yeah,
where's the good? I want to go on Instagram and see people that I think, yeah, you're class, you're doing good, you've got a talent, like, just a good person.
I like that.
So once you change all of that, Your life's changing.
You're flying.
Yeah.
We've got two more questions for you. We ask every single guest on Monday Mile what their relationship is like with the start of the week, Monday. Do you like Mondays?
I hate weekends, you know, because weekends, no one replies to emails. Monday morning, I'm in my element. Honestly, Monday morning, I'm like, yes, emails are coming in, people are replying, things are happening.
We're vibing, we're rolling.
Yeah.
See, most people in the traditional workspace, I can imagine, would see emails at the weekend as a negative distraction, and that just shows what a positive space you're in. There's excitement around your career.
Yeah. Weekends are nice because you can have that downtime a little bit. You can enjoy like family time or whatever. Or you know what? Most football pitches that I go to film on are empty on weekends.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because like, I use schools pitches.
I'd be up on the roof sunbathing if I was you.
Yeah, let's change it though. Let's change up my location.
And lastly, Liv, is there any life mottos that you can share with our listeners to inspire them to get up, get out of bed, and be as fired up about life as you are?
I don't know, a life motto.
There's quite a few you've already
Yeah, I know, I've hit you with some of my like biggest little secrets and tips.
Go on then, what's your favourite?
Right, two.
Okay, two.
One is a quote.
Okay.
Excuses don't build empires. Like, shut up with your excuses.
That's the headline
of
the podcast.
Shut up with your excuses.
You've heard it
here. Even in table tennis today, when I was hitting it off the table, granted it's my first lesson, I'm not making an excuse. It's like, right, why? Well, it's obviously because I've turned my bat wrong. So right, correct it. If you don't have that accountability and you just make excuses and you blame the external, you ain't going to get better. So be accountable, stop your excuses, make progress, not excuses.
I will no longer make excuses, Liv Kirk. Thank you. Next one.
That was my quote.
I liked it a lot.
That's my favourite quote.
It's very strong.
But then I would say, I don't know if it's a motto, but it's something that I do. Any interest I have, no matter how random or weird it is, pursue it because it's there for a reason. So like when my injury happened and I wanted to sit down and like do a bit of tricks.
Yeah.
Cool, do that. And then if you want to start freestyle, do it. Like don't hesitate. I could have easily thought, right, I shouldn't really start freestyle because I want to be playing football and you know, it's a distraction from that. But that interest and that internal like fire in my belly to do that new sport was there for a reason. And sometimes you don't know until you're deep in it. So don't have hesitations. Don't think I might look stupid doing this or it's a distraction or this or that or people will laugh at me. Pursue it because it all comes full circle and every interest is there for a reason, and if something fuels you with a positive feeling, seek more of it.
That is just unreal. I'm going away leaving this podcast feeling totally inspired, and I'm not just saying that because we're here, but I think your outlook on life and your passion and motivation for whatever you're doing is very special.
I'm hella competitive with an obsessive personality.
So what I'm saying is, let's bring that competitive A game to Monday the 8th.
Where I'm going to beat you at basketball.
Sorry,
this point guard's going to get beat.
Monday Mile listeners, it is a wrap. Liv Kirk. Now that podcast, that conversation, for me, was nothing short of inspiration. I felt the buzz, and I hope you did too. If you are new to the podcast, you know what to do. Make sure you subscribe and we will be seeing you every single Monday. Have an absolutely wicked week.